Today, Shem the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Mem Dalet. We begin 7 lines from the Daf Mem Dalet, Omud Aleph. And we'll pick right up because we're discussing, again, some of the customs of Lulav and Arava, and we'll just jump right into it. So we begin, Omale Abaya. The Gersa we have is Lurava. The Bach says it should be Luraba. So Abaya says to Rabba. Maishno, what is the halachic difference over here between Lulav, which you're telling me, Davdino Le Shivo Le Zech Le Mikdash, which Chazal set up that we do 7 days, all 7 days of Sukkot, which even though in the Beis HaMikdash it was only done one day in the Gvulin outside the Beis HaMikdash, the rabbi set up as a Zeich LeMikdash that we do it 7 days, as opposed to Arava, Umayishna Arava, where in Arava, which is also done in the Beis HaMikdash, and it should be a Zeich LeChurban, the law of Dinan law, Shiva Zeich LeMikdash, they only set up one day, Hoshana Rabba, as a Zecher for this mitzvah. Why did the rabbis distinguish between Lulav, a 7-day Zeich LeMikdash, and Arava, which only has a 1-day Zeich LeMikdash, Hoshana Rabba? So that's what Abaye asked to Rava / Rabba. So let's say it was Rabba, Amalei. Rabba responds to his Talmud Abaye, Hol, the Odom Yotzei de Chavoso be Arava Sheba Lulav. You know why? Because you're actually Yotzei this concept of Zeich LeMikdash of the Arava by taking the Arava in the Lulav. And that's why you have it for 7 days. Abaye says, well, really? Amalei, how mishum lulav hu deka avilei? That doesn't make sense. You're not taking the Arava because of the mitzvah of the Arava. You're taking the Arava because it's part of the dalit minim of the lulav. So where it says, ah, you're going to tell me, v'chitema deka migbalei, v'hador migbalei, that he takes the lulav and shakes it, and that's for the mitzvah of lulav. And then he shakes all of the dalit minim, but it's really only the Arava, and he's doing that for the shame of the Arava. Is that what you're telling me to do? Now, this is actually based upon something we'll have in tomorrow's shir, where we see that there is such an opinion that says that you could be Yotze by doing that. But that's not really what happens. Nobody does that. So therefore, you can't tell me that this is the answer, because nobody really does that. Now, there is a sheet that it says you could do that, but A, we don't passing like that shita, or even if we did passing like that shita, nobody does it. So therefore, Abaye says to Rava / Rabba, how come the Zecher for the Lulav is 7 days and the Zecher for the Arava is only 1 day? So Amar Rav Zvid, Mishmei de Rava, so Rav Zvid says, because the reasoning is Lulav, which is a mitzvah deraisa, Adinan Shiva, Zecher le Mikdash. But the Arava, which is only a mitzvah derabanan, lo Adinan le Shiva, Zecher le Mikdash. So Rav Zvid says, do you know what the answer is? That there's a difference over here between the Araisa and the Rabbanon. Lulav, which is the Araisa, rabbi set up a 7-day remembrance. Arava, which is only the Rabbanon, the rabbi set up a 1-day remembrance. Morris says, this goes against what we learned yesterday. This goes against what we learned previously. Laman, who is this going in accord with? Are you going to tell me, Lema Le Abashol? We learned the opinion of Abashol a few days ago. Omar, he said that we darshan arve nachal when the Torah tells us lukach lchem pri bayom rishon pri etzadav kapos storm vanaf etzavos vi arve nachal. So it said vi arve nachal plural. So he said, Abba Shaul said, it says twice arve ksiv shtayim to teach us achas lulav v'achas lemikdash. So there is a mitzvah d'oraisa of lulav as well as a mitzvah d'oraisa of the arava. Aye, you're going to tell me it's the Bali Plukta of Abishol, the Rabbanon, Ilu Rabbanon. So we had already said previously that this is one of the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, Hilchas L'Gemir Law. As we learned, the Amar of Asi, Amar of Yochanan Mishum, Rav Nechunya Ish Bikas Beis Charson, that this opinion was brought down in the name of Rav Asi, Amar of Yochanan, in the name of Rav Nechunya Ish Bikas Beis Charson, and we'll have several statements from him today. That's why it's important that I re-mentioned his name now. But the first statement was, he had said that the din of Eser Netios, which we've discussed a number of times already, which is so appropriate right now, during the month of Elul, prior to a Shemitah year, so this din is when the Eser Netios apply. The mid Araisa, there's a din of Tosefes Shvius, that you have to add on the month of Elul to all of the dinim of the Shemitah year, that you're not allowed to plow, you're not allowed to water, etc. So all of those dinim apply already in the month of Elul, of the year before the Shemitah. Now, the din of Eser Netios is when you plant 10 saplings equidistant from each other in a field the size of a base saw, which is a 50 by 50, which is half of the base of Sayim, which was the area of the Mishkan, which was the 50 by 100 area. So that's a base Sosayim. So half of that is 50 by 50, 2,500 Amah. If you plant 10 trees within it, young trees within it, so we previously learned that Halach L'Moshe Misinai, you're allowed to go and plow that area. It needs the plowing to keep those trees surviving. And therefore, even though there's a din of Tosefa Shemitah, Midaraisa, that you're not allowed to plow other areas, here you are allowed to plow to save these saplings. Now, if you don't have 10 saplings in this area, if you have either a larger number of saplings or you have a smaller number of saplings, so then you're only allowed to plow around the tree in order to save those saplings. You're allowed to preserve growths during the Shemitah year. You're just not allowed to enhance them. So the din of this Esen Atios is a Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. And then Reb Nechunya Ish Bikas Beis Charsin said also Arava is Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, meaning it's a din d'oraisa, as well as Nisach HaMayim, the libations of water on Sukkot. All of these are Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. So whether you hold like Abba Shaul, or whether you hold like the Chachamim who argue with Abba Shaul, everybody says that Arava is a din d'oraisa. So how can you Rav Zvid, in the name of Rava, say that it's a din d'rabbanan? So Rav Zvid said no. El Omer Rav Zvid Mishrei the Rava. What I was saying was as follows. Lulav, the Islay Ikar Min HaTorah B'Gvulin. The din of Lulav has a din Daraisa even in the Gvulin, outside the Beis HaMikdash. On the first day, it's a Daraisa to go take the Lulav. So therefore, in that situation, Avdin Olei Shiva Zeich LaMikdash. So the rabbi set up a seven-day period of using the Lulav, of taking the Lulav, to remind us of this din Daraisa on the first day outside the Beis HaMikdash. But the Arava, the last late ikum in HaTorah B'Gvulin. There is no din to take an arava midaraisa outside the Beis HaMikdash. There's a din to take the arava in the Beis HaMikdash. So since there is no mitzvah outside of the Beis HaMikdash B'Gvulin to go take the arava, so the rabbi said one day is enough. Lo avinu shiva zeich lamikdash, we just make one day Hoshana Rabba. That is Rav Zvid's real explanation. Not daraisa versus darabanan. It's daraisa B'Gvulin versus no mitzvah in the Gvulin. Therefore, the rabbi said 7 days for Lulav and only one day for Arav. Now, Amar Reish Lakish says, Kohanim Bali Mumim Nichnosim Beino Ulam Vela Mezbeach Kidei Lotzeis B'Arava. This mitzvah of taking the Arava in the Beis HaMikdash was, the simple understanding is to go around the Mizbeach while you're being no-tell the Arava. So Reish Lakish says that normally only Kohanim that can do the Avoda are allowed to be in that very holy area between the Mizbeach and the Ulam, what's known as Beino Ulam L'Mizbeach. And therefore, under normal circumstances, Yisrael can't be there, and a Baal Mum Kohen can't be there. And Tosa says as well, a Puri Rosh, a Kohen who didn't take proper haircuts, and therefore he's not allowed to do the Avoda. So all of these people aren't allowed to be in the area between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. However, this is where Tosas understand this, that the Purei Rosh, as well as a Baal Mum, even though they can't do other parts of the Avoda, the going and taking the Arava is incumbent upon every Kohen, even the Bali Mumim and the Purei Rosh, and they would be allowed to go, according to Reish Lakish, these Kohanim Bali Mumim, and Tosas says as well as the Purei Rosh, Nichlos and Bein Ulam HaMizbeach, Kidei Lotzis Barava, in order to fulfill this mitzvah of encircling the Mizbeach with the Arava, they could go there as well. So you see that this is a mitzvah that was only incumbent upon the Kohanim, and it was only in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, Rav Yochanan questions his colleague Reish Lakish. Amalei Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan says to his Talmud Chavah Reish Lakish, Mi Amara, where'd you get this from? Who says this? More questions. Really? Rav Yochanan, you're asking Reish Lakish, who said it? You're the one that said it. Mi Amara? Ha'iyu Amar, you, Rav Yochanan, are the one that said this din. That's where Reish Lakish got it from. Damar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan. Rav Asi said, Amar Rav Yochanan, and it was again, Mishum Rav Nechunya Ish Bikas Beis Charsin. That's why this is brought down here as well. It was said over the name of this great Tana, Rav Nechunya Ish Bikas Beis Charsin, and he said, Eser Netios Arava V'Nisach HaMayim is Halach L'Moshe Misinai. So you're the one that tells us that this Arava is a requirement Minat Torah. It's Halach L'Moshe Misinai. So what are you asking Reish Lakish? Who says that this is a requirement that you have to go and carry the Arava? Of course it is. You yourself, Rav Yochanan, say it's Halach L'Moshe Misinai. So Gemara says, yeah, that's not what Rav Yochanan was saying to Reish Lakish. Ella, what Rav Yochanan was questioning Reish Lakish is as follows. Mi Amara B'Netila. Granted, it's a mitzvah daraisa, Halach L'Moshe Misinai, to do something with the Arava. But who says it's Netila? Who says it's carrying the Arava and circling the Mizbeach? Dilma B'Zakifa. Maybe the din is that you just have to lean it on the Mizbeach. And by leaning it on the Mizbeach, you fulfill the obligation. And therefore, who says that even Kohanim and Bali Mumim have to go stand between the Ulam and the Mizbeach? Maybe they stand on the other side, and therefore they're not going between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. Or alternatively, Mi Amara Bali Mumim, Duma Bismimim. Who said the Bali Mumim have to do this? Granted, it has to be done, but it only has to be done by Kohanim that are eligible to do it. Who says that every Kohen has to do this? So that's what Rabbi Yochanan was asking Reish Lakish. You're telling me that Bali Mumim have to do it. Maybe not. Maybe it doesn't have to be Zakifa. It doesn't have to be Netila. It can be just Zakifa. Or it doesn't have to be the Bali Mumim. It just has to be Kashra Kohanim. That's what Rabbi Yochanan was questioning Reish Lakish. Furthermore, we have another member in the name of this Rav Nechunya Ish Bikas Beis Charsa in Itma. We learned the following machlokas. Rav Yochanan and Rishuben Levi had a machlokas. Chadamara Rava Yesod Neviim. Chadamara Rava Minhog Neviim. What's the difference between being a Yesod, a foundation of the Neviim, or just the Minhog of the Neviim? So Rashi brings down in Dibra Masko Yesod Neviim. Who? He says, when it says Yesod Neviim, it's a takana of the Neviim Achronim. Who are those? Those are Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, the last Neviim, who were also part of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, and they made a takana. In other words, they made a din derabanan. So Yesod means a din derabanan, a mitzvah derabanan. As opposed to Rashi, in the next Rashi, Minhag says, when it says that it was either Rav Yochanan or Rav Yishuv ben Levi said it was a Minhag Neviim, that's Hinhig Wesom. They made a nice custom for the nation, but they didn't make it a din. Lo tiknu lahem din derabanan. What's the difference whether they made a din derabanan or a Minhag? Rashi says the nafkamina is the lo by bracha, whether you'd make a bracha on it or not. The lekka lemeimar vitzivanu. You can't say for a Minhag, asher kishan mitzvah vitzivanu, anetil asarava. It wasn't set up as a din derabanan. It was set up as a minhag. And you can only say vitzivanu if it was in fact a din derabanan. So if it was a yesod neviim, i.e. a din derabanan, so then you would make a bracha. If it's just a minhag neviim, then you don't make a bracha. So this machlok from Yochanan and Yishuv and Levi is to what is the status of the arava. Now the Gemara wants to prove that Tistayim, I can show you, the Rav Yochanan is the one who, the Amar, yesod neviim. He was the one that said it's a din. He said it's a takonis neviim. Because the Amar, Rabbi Yavo, Amar Yochanan, Rabbi Yavo said the name of Yochanan, Arava yesod neviim hu. Rabbi Yavo said the name of Yochanan that it is yesod neviim. In other words, Tistayim, that's a good proof that Rabbi Yochanan was the one that said that it is a takonis derabanan. But the Gemara says, how can you say this? Amalei Rabbi Zeru, Rabbi Yavo, how can you tell me that Rabbi Yochanan holds that it's a din derabanan? After all, me Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi. We said three times now. V'Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Nechunya Ish Bikas Beis Charson that Es and Etios Arava and Nisach HaMayim are Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai. How can you tell me that he holds Arava as a din derabanan? He holds Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai. The Gemara says, how did Rabbi Yavo react? Eshtomeim. Now, this is a loshon that was used by Daniel when he was speaking with Belshazzar. So it says he was silent for a moment, and he then responded. So that's what we use. This is a borrowed language that we use over here as well. The Yomar, Rabbi Yavo said, no, what Rabbi Yochanan is saying is that the din was forgotten. This halach l'moshe v'sinai was forgotten. And along came the Yesod HaNeviim and reestablished this as a halach l'moshe v'sinai. Not as a din derabanan, but as a halach l'moshe v'sinai. But it was forgotten, and they reestablished it. That's what it means. The Gemara questions is, did Rabbi Yochanan say that the people in Bavel forgot their Torah? Well, me, Omar, Rabbi Yochanan, Hachi? Did Rabbi Yochanan suggest that the people in Babel forgot their Torah? But I'll show you from this famous story that he didn't agree with that. He said the people in Babel, they didn't forget their Torah. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan, d'lachon amre, d'lachon hi. The way Rashi understands this is, Rabbi Yochanan told his Talmidim, who were in Eretz Yisrael, I originally thought, d'lachon amre, that the Torah is yours. However, I really see that Dilahon he, it really belongs to the Talmidim from Bavel. And this is based upon a famous story in the Gemara and Daf Kuf Yud Zayin in Baba Kama, where Rav had a great Talmud, Rav Kahana. It was a Talmud Chover of Rav. And Rav Kahana ended up killing somebody, and he did it appropriately, but they were afraid that the authorities would not understand, and Rav sent him into exile. And he told him, go to Eretz Yisrael, but be humble there, and that will be the equivalent of giving you a kapara, like going to an Ari Miklat from this past week's parasha of Shoftim, so that will give you a kapara. The events of that story at the beginning are not important for right now, but Rav Kahana went to Eretz Yisrael. He met up with Reish Lakish. He asked him, what did you learn this year today? Reish Lakish told him, and Rav Kahana slugged it all up. So Reish Lakish went to Rav Yochanan and told him, oh boy, a lion has come from Babel. You better prepare your shear real well tomorrow because you're going to have trouble. So they bring in Rav Kahana to the shear. They sit him all the way up front, and they start the shear. And Rav Yochanan says something, and Rav Kahana doesn't say boo. So they say, he's not asking any questions. So they move him back. In those days, where you sat was essentially where you were held in esteem, where your position in the shir was. So they moved him back a row. So Rav Yochanan said more, and Rav Kahana doesn't say anything. They move him back another row. They keep on moving Rav Kahana back. They said, this is the lion that you're saying from Bavel came up here. He doesn't know anything. He doesn't say boo. So when Rav Kahana heard that, he says, now I have my kapara, I've been publicly embarrassed, so to say, and now I can start listening to the shir. So, as soon as Rav Yochanan says something, Rav Kahana comes in and schlugs him up. They move Rav Kahana closer to Rav Yochanan. Same thing happens again, he schlugs him up, move him closer. Before you know it, he's right in front of Rav Yochanan. And then Rav Yochanan says something, and Rav Kahana schlugs him up, and they take away one of the cushions that Rav Yochanan is sitting on, and they give it to Rav Kahana. And that keeps on going and going and going, until Rav Yochanan is left sitting without any cushions, or all the cushions are under Rav Kahana. What happens then? Rav Yochanan, who was a shamein person, he was a baal basar, and the Gemara tells us that he couldn't really lift up his eyelids. So he lifts up his eyelids to now see who this was, and he looks at Rav Kahana. Now Rav Kahana had probably something like a hair lip. He had some abnormality. He had a sneer that looked on his face, but it really was a genetic abnormality. So Rav Yochanan thought that he was making fun of him. So he gives him a look, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want Rav Yochanan to be upset, and Rav Kahana essentially dies. And ultimately, they tell Rav Yochanan that he wasn't really laughing at him, he wasn't sneering at him, so Rav Yochanan does resuscitation, and then Rav Kahana and Rav Yochanan become chaverim, and Rav Kahana helps out Rav Yochanan with many difficult situations. So that's what our Gemara is referring to. A long story to get to this point. Fascinating story. So Rav Yochanan tells his Talmidim, originally I thought that you were the authentic carriers of the Torah, you people living here in Eretz Yisrael without difficulties, but I see that the people from Bavel, Rav Kahana, they're the ones that really know their Torah. Even though all the difficulties they had in Galus, they didn't forget their Torah. So how can you tell me, now we get to the question, how can you tell me, Miyam or Yochanachi, that Shechachom, the Chazuv Yisodom, that the people in Bavel forgot the Torah, and ultimately it was remembered, that's what they're talking about. No, they didn't forget their Torah. This is the way Rashi understands this. Tosos, the Rein Chananel, they don't like fully the way I just explained this, based upon Rashi, and they interpret it a little bit differently. They basically say that Rav Yochanan told the Talmidim from Bavel that you and Bavel are, in fact, the true carriers of the Mesorah. In any event, bottom line is, this answer, Shechachim, because of Yisodim, can't be right. So we return to our original question. How did Rabbi Yavoh say that this was a takana de Rabbanon and not a din da raisa? So Gemara says, Lokashi, and return to Mandala Rabbi Beis, Kambi Vikdosh, Kambi Gvulim. It all depends where. When Rabbi Yochanan said that it was Halacha Moshe V'Sinai, that was talking about the Beis HaMikdosh. However, when we say that the Nevi'im, they were Yesod HaNevi'im, that was talking about this din da Rabbanon that they set up. Nowadays, when we don't have a Beis HaMikdosh, so they said that you should do Hoshana Rabbah. And that was only set up for one day. Gemara continues and says, Amar Rav Ami. Rav Ami says, Arava Tzricha Shir. When you do the mitzvah of the Arava, there has to be a shir to the Arava. Number one. Number two, the Einon Niteles Ela B'fnei Atzma. And you must take the Arava alone by itself, not bundled together with the Lulav and the Hadassim, etc. And number three, they know them yotzei dechavaso be arava shebelulav. And likewise, you can't be yotzei with the arava in the lulav. Now, that seems to be following from number two, that you can't take you must take the arava by itself. So of course, you can't be yotzei with the lulav, with the arava in the lulav. So how can that be? So Gemara says, kivin de amamar einon nitelas tell us atzva. Once you told me number two that you have to take it by itself, of course, pshita they know them yotzei by arava shebelulav. How can you possibly think that you could be yotzei by taking the arava in the lulav? You just said you have to take it by itself. So Gemara says, Pshita deinah dem yotzei by arava shebelulav. So Gemara says, no. Ma'o detema, I might have thought, hani mi lihecho delo agbe v'hoder agbe. The reason why you can't be yotzei with the arava in the lulav is if you only do it by itself. You take the lulav and the arava within it, and you shake it once, and boom, that should go for both the lulav and for the arava. That doesn't work that way. However, I might have thought, aval agbe, if I go take the dalad minim and I shake them, and then I say, I'm going to go take the lulav esrog hadasim and shake them again. And the second time, vahadar agbe l'shem arava, emalo. Maybe in this situation, point number two, that you have to take it by itself, doesn't apply. Aim alone. In that situation, you are Yotze. Kamash Rolan. Rav Ami is teaching us that even in that situation, when you do the Agboy, and then you do Hador Agboy, you lift it once, and then you lift it again, it still is no good. No, Rechisto, Amar Rav Yitzchak, he says, no, you could do it that way. Adam Yotze, Dech Avosav, Yarav, Shemalulav. And then we are not goris the words, but Yom Tov, Arishon, Shalchag, according to the Masoros HaShas. According to many, they don't have that goris here, but in any event, whether you do or you're not goris it, it doesn't change it around. Rechisto, Amar Rav Yitzchak disagrees, and he says, if you do Agbe, Vahadar Agbe, that in fact is fine. So there's a machlokis over here, like we alluded to earlier in the shir, between Rav Ami and Rav Chista and Rav Yitzchak. Could you go and fulfill the mitzvah of Arava by shaking it when it's in the lulav, as long as you're doing it l'shem Arava? Now, Rav Ami's first statement was Arava tzricha shir. So Gemara asks for kama shira. What is the shir for the Arava? So Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said shlosha bade olin lachin. It has to be three of the branches of the Arava, and they have to have moist leaves on them. That's Rav Nachman. Rav Sheshes Amar, now the way we understand Rav Sheshes is as follows, Afilu Ola Echad, either one leaf, or, this vav is an or, U Bad Echad, or one branch. Either one branch, implying without leaves, Rashi says, or one leaf without a branch. That's the way Rashi understands this Havamin of the Gemara of Rav Sheshes. And the Gemara questions that. That doesn't make any sense. Ola Echad, U Bad Echad, Sokadaitach, do we really think that you could be Yotze with a branch without any leaves on it, or with a leaf without a branch to it? Impossible. So Gemara says, you're right. Ela Ema, what Rav Sheshes was saying is, Afilu Ola Echad, Bevad Echad. Even if there's only one leaf on a single branch, that would be fine. So the bottom line is, the Machlok is, Rav Nachman says you need three branches, and it's not clear how many leaves you need on them. Some say you need three leaves on each branch, or some say you need three leaves altogether. And Rav Sheshes is more makel, says even one branch with one leaf, that would be adequate. Merak now continues with a statement from Avo. Avo, Rashi tells us, reminds us, is the father of Rav. Omer Avo, Avo says, V'hava kamina kamei de Rabbi Elazar of Tzadok. I once was standing in front of the great Tana Rabbi Elazar of Tzadok. V'I say, how gavra arava kamei. And a person came in to Rabbi Elazar of Tzadok with a arava, and he gave it to Rabbi Elazar of Tzadok to be yotze. And what did he do? Shokil, he took the arava from the person. Chovit, chovit, he... Now, Rashi understands chovit is a loshon nianua. He did wavings with it. The Rambam understands that he banged it, he beat it on the ground. And this is the source, according to the Rambam, for us to go and clap Hoshanis. What we bang the Hoshanis on Hoshana Rabbah, we bang them on the ground. So this is the source from this word chovit. Rashi didn't understand it that way. Rashi says you do nanuim with it, and the Rambam says it means literally chovit means to bang it on the ground. However, the key point for our discussion right now was v'lo baruch. He didn't make a bracha. Why? Kesavar minhag neviim, not yisod neviim, but this was minhag neviim, and Avo, the father of Rav, therefore paskin that it's only a minhag quote, and therefore we don't make a bracha on a minhag. You can't say asher kicharam mitzvah v'tzivanu because you weren't mitzuva. It's just a minhag, and this is not halacha l'maisa. In any event, we have a similar story with his great grandson. His great grandson, Ivo's great grandson, was named Ivo. So Ivo, his great-grandson, V'chizkia is another one of his great-grandsons. How were they great-grandsons of him? They were his son's Rav's daughter's children. So Ivo V'chizkia are B'nai Brate, are the sons of the daughter of Rav. And they came in Aisu Arava L'kamei de Rav. They brought in front of their Zaydi, in front of Rav and Arava, to go and do the mitzvah of Arava on Oshana Rabbah. And he also did like his father, Avo did. Chovit, chovit, he did either nanuim and or he banged them. Below Baruch, and he didn't make a bracha because he also held, like his father, Kosavar Minag Nevi'im Hu. It's not Yesod Nevi'im, it wasn't a takana, it was just a Minag, and you don't make a bracha on a Minag. Amar Evu, Evu said another din, Hevi Kamino Kamei de Rabbi Elazar of Tzadok. I once was in front of Rabbi Elazar of Tzadok, and also Lekamei Hau Gabra, another person came in front of him, and he asked him the following question. Again, it's so interesting, he's asking him a Shemitah question, and we're right now starting the Shemitah year. As I mentioned already earlier this year today, with the Esen Etios, so we are in the month of Elul before Shemitah year, so the Dinim of Shemitah have already started in Eretz Yisrael. So also Lekameyahu Gavra, this person came to Rabbi Elazar Tzadok, and he said to him, Amalei, I own a whole bunch of kiryas. Kiryasa Isli. Kiryasa, Rashi tells us, a kvar, small villages. And in those days, he didn't just own the village. Rashi says, v'yoshveyim. He owned the people in the villages as well. So this person came to Rav Elazar Tzadok, and he said, I own these villages. And I also own Karmaya Isli. I also own a whole bunch of vineyards. And I also own Zesaya Isli. I also own a whole bunch of olive trees. Now, it was the Shemitah year. For Asu B'nei Kiryasa, the people who live in my city that I own, this kfar, Umakashikin B'Karmaya, they went and plowed my vineyard. Now, they need to be paid. So, number one point is, you're clearly allowed to go plow a vineyard. How come? I was going to ask that later on in today's share, how you're allowed to plow a vineyard during the Shemitah year. So we'll get to that. But right now, that's not the issue. The issue was, how do you pay the people, this Bnei Kiryasa, his villagers, how does he pay them for plowing his field? Makashikim Mechamaya. So what he did was, V'ochlim B'Zesaya, I let them eat my olives. They ate my olives from my olive trees. And he asked a shaila. This is something that businessmen should be doing. Of course, most of them do this on a regular basis. Is my business practice eluchanat? Does it go in the ways of the Torah, or is it not in the ways of the Torah? Secular business ethics are not necessarily the same as halacha. So therefore, he said to him, arich or lo arich? Am I being erlich? Arich doesn't literally mean erlich, but it does. As Rashi explains, the word arich means tov la'asos kein, is what I'm doing proper, or lo arich, or is it not proper? Arich is a lashon of hagun, appropriate, erlich, or not. So he asked them, is this practice of allowing my people that live in my villages to go and eat my olives from my olive trees during the Shemitah year, is that considered la'ochla, or is that considered that I'm doing business with my olive trees? So Amalei, Rabbi Elazar Tzadok says to him, Lo Orich, it's not Erlich. What you did is not Hogun, it's not proper. Immediately, Havakashovikle, this guy gets up and runs out of there, Ba'azil. And the Mefarshim explained, he went to tell them to stop doing it. And he then subsequently comes back to Rabbi Elazar Tzadok. But meanwhile, while he's out, Rav Elazar Tzadok says, Omar, he says, could do like such a person, I have lived in this place for 40 years. However, and I haven't seen such an erlich person as this person was. And the Mefarshim explained, because the minute that Rav Elazar Tzadok told him that what you're doing is not erlich, he ran out to correct it. That's the understanding. The guy comes back. He comes back. This person, this tzaddik, comes back to Elazar Tzadok and he says, now what should I do? Baruch Hashem, I stopped them from eating. So how do I make it up? My miyavid. So Omalei, Elazar Tzadok said to him, what you have to do is afgir zesaya lechoshkaya. You have to go and be mafgir zesim. It's the Shemitah year. Everybody has to be able to come in and go and take them. And the Mefarshim should point out, he hadn't protected them. Anybody could come in and take them. And technically, what he had done was not incorrect. If the villagers were happy getting those olives as their payment, so then he's allowed to. He technically didn't do anything wrong. And that's why he didn't ask, is it us or is it mutter? He asked, arich or lo arich? Is it erlich what I did or not erlich? And as soon as he heard it wasn't erlich, he corrected it. But technically, he didn't do anything wrong. So Rabbi Elazar Tzadok told him, if you want to do the lifnei mishur hasadin, if you want to do the right thing, you have to be mafkir your zesim lechoshachaya, for the poor people, and not use it to pay back the villagers, even though it's technically allowed, because you're not paying them back, they're taking it on their own. And what you should do is go pay the villagers. V'sein pritaya, give a pruta, l'kashkuk shekramim, to those poor villagers that went and plowed for you. So go and pay them, give them money. That's the ideal way. That's the most erlich way. That's the lifnei mishur hasadin way. No, the Gemara now asked the question I alluded to before. Are you allowed to have plowed the vineyard? The kashkushe mishari. How could they go and plow the vineyard? V'atanya, the pasuk tells us, Bashvias in the Shemitah year, Tishmetena unitashta, that you have to go and do Tishmetena. What does that mean? Tishmetena means that you have to stop me likashkesh from plowing. You're not allowed to plow in the Shemitah year. Unitashta means you're not allowed to go clear your field. Milasakel, from removing the rocks from your field. So how could this person have allowed the villagers to go and plow his vineyard? So Amar Rav Ukva Bar Chama, Rav Ukva Bar Chama says there are two different types of plowing. One type is permitted and one type is not. Trei kashkushe habu. There are two plowings. when you're doing a plowing, chad statume pile, when you're doing a plowing to go and plug up the cracks. What does this mean? So Rashi says, shashoroshim magulim, if the roots are open, vitzorich lechasosam, and you have to go cover them up, because otherwise, shloye yave shailan, so the tree won't dry up. Now, during the Shemitah year, you're allowed to preserve your trees. So he says, in this situation, v'ukme ilonehu shelo yomus ve'enos elashmichon. You're not doing this to make them better. You're doing this so they don't die. El lekaimon, to keep them alive, that is allowed. So when you're doing the plowing to plug up the roots that have now become revealed, and you're doing this to preserve the trees, not to improve them, that is allowed. That is the type of plowing that this Tzaddik had done with his villages. However, the other type of plowing is v'chad avruya ilone. Avruya means to make them healthier, to make them better. So that you're not allowed to do. Avruya ilone osur. That's not allowed. Stume pile, shari, to cover up the cracks in the ground so that the roots won't get dried out and the tree won't die. That you're allowed to do. But to make the tree healthier, the tree will survive quite well right now, but it won't grow 6 feet. So you want it to grow 6 feet this year, so you go and do additional plowing to get the nutrients better and to allow the water in. That you're not allowed to do during the Shemitah year. And that's the trei kashkushe havu. One is allowed and one is not. Another statement that Ivu made in the name of Elazar Tzadok, Amar Ivu Mishum Elazar Tzadok, a person shouldn't walk Erev Shabbos more than three parsos. Again, a parso is 4 mil. A mil is roughly a kilometer. So this would be roughly walking about 12 kilometers. You shouldn't do that on Erev Shabbos. Why not? So Rashi explains, because in this situation, you should yishbos, you should rest before Shabbos, stop before Shabbos, bo yom godol, v'yochin lo su de Shabbos. So you can prepare a proper meal for Shabbos. If you're traveling up until right the end before Shabbos, you're not going to have a proper meal. Rav Kahana said, Lo Amarin Elevese, this was only said if you're going to your house. Why? Because when you go to your house, Sheolet Lebeso, Rashi says, V'hein Eindam Yodim Sheyovu Ayom. They don't know you're coming, and therefore, V'hein Mechinim Litzarcho. They're not going to prepare any food for you. So, number one, they're not going to have food for you. You're an extra guest, so to say, because they weren't expecting you. And number two, V'koe Salem, and it's going to make you angry at them. So, therefore, Rav Kahana says, this was only said when you're going to your own house. But if you're traveling on the road, no problem. Because whatever you took with you, that's all you know you're going to have. You're not going to be able to prepare over there. It's only what you have with you. So therefore, it's not a problem of this traveling. You can travel more than three parsos if you're not going to your house. But if you're coming to your house, so then don't travel more than three parsos to give them enough chance to be able to prepare for you for Shabbos. Others flip it around. Because the Amre, Omer Rav Kahana, you know what Rav Kahana said? Lo nitzucha ela afil lebeise, even to your own house. Mistami, your own house, they'll always find room for you. So you might have thought it only applies when you're going to the Yushpize, because they're not going to have any food for you unless you get there early enough to know that they can prepare for you. But your own house, you might have thought you could, and therefore Rav Kahana says, no, it's even to your own house, and certainly not to Yushpize. Omer Rav Kahana, b'didi haviyogda, this once happened to me. Even a little dish, a little extra dish, like some small fish dish, like a herrings that they used to have. So this kasa de harsana, loish kiche. There wasn't anything in the house because they weren't expecting me. Rashi says, this kasa de harsana, sudum wetes, dogim kitanim, mitugonim kemach. It's certain type of little fish that were spiced with some flour over here and in the oil of it, and they used to give this out as a little bit of a delicacy for Shabbos. So they didn't even have that little delicacy for me on Shabbos because they weren't expecting me. Then we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Mitzvahs lulav keitzad. How do you go do the mitzvah of lulav when Shabbos and Sukkot, the first day, coincide? So how do we do it? So we said that they brought their lulavim on Erev Shabbos to the shul or to the Beis HaMikdash. So Toni Tana kamei de Rav Nachman. One of the Amoraim who learned these prices said it over in front of Rav Nachman. Sudrin, you go and arrange them al gag hayitzba, on the top of the roof of this platform, of these benches that they had on the Harabayas outside the Azara. So Gemara says, return to Memhei Amud Aleph. Amalei Rav Nachman, v'chili yavshan hu tzarech. When this Amora said over this Bryce in front of Rav Nachman, he said, if you're goris over here, gag, so then you're going to put them on the roof, they're going to dry out. So you put them out there on Friday afternoon, they're going to be all dried out, and you're going to have pasul or lulavs when you go and take them Shabbos morning, first day of Sukkot. V'chili yavshan hu tzarech. Do you want to dry them out? Your gears in the Bryce is wrong. Ela ema al gav ha'itzdaba. You should put them on the top of the bench, not on the top of the roof, not on the gag of the itzdaba, but on the itzdaba itself. And therefore, the roof of that area will go protect them from being dried out. So therefore, the lashon should be gav and not gag. Now Tosus points out a very interesting thing. And Tosus Dira Masav Chiliavshan says this Amora made the exact same mistake in the Gemara elsewhere in Psochem, where they talked about the Shtei Chalos of the Karban Toda. The Karban Toda has 40 breads with it, and 30 of them are matzah, and 10 of them are chametz. So they used to take the 10 that are chametz, and on Erev Pesach, they used to put them out, and they would remove them when it reached a certain time on the morning of Erev Pesach, when you couldn't have chametz anymore. So there it said that this Amora said that they took two of these chalos of the chametz, Shtei Chalos Shel Toda, and he said that they put them al gav, and they corrected him over there and said, no, they put them on the gag. So Tosus explains that this Amora thought that the proper Lashon was either in both the case of the Chala and the case over here of Al Gemara on the Itzdaba with the Lulav, that both of them were the same. Either both of them were Gav or both of them were Gag. So when he first learned it over here, he said Al Gag, and Rav Nachman told him, no, change it to Al Gav. So he mistakenly thought in both places you change it, so he changed the gears of the Shtei Chalas of the Toda to Al-Gav also. But that should have been left as Al-Gag. Okay. In any event, the Gemara concludes and says, Amar Rochva, Amar Yehuda. The Amar Rochva said, name of Rav Yehuda. Har Habayis, Stov Kofel Hoya. On the Har Habayis, they had these double rows of these itztabas. Stov, Lifnim Mistov. You had a row within the other row of these itzdava, these benches, these projections, and the people would sit on them, and that's the way it was arranged on the Har HaBayis. With this, we conclude today's shiur.